It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the 5 o'clock report, 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, commercial-free. I'm Maria Chaleo, sitting in today for Jeff Kaplan. KSL's top story this hour. Another case of new COVID-19 variant has been detected, this time closer to Utah. Since finding the new Omicron variant in California yesterday, Colorado and Minnesota have also detected the variant. Colorado Governor Jared Polis says that they think the woman is the only case in the state.
Just moments ago, Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment confirmed the first Colorado case of the Omicron variant. It is somebody who just traveled to Southern Africa and returned. She is experiencing mild symptoms and is isolating at home. She was vaccinated but had not been boosted.
He adds Colorado tests wastewater for COVID, and they haven't detected the Omicron variant yet. In New York, there have been 5 confirmed cases of the variant, 4 in New York City, 1 in Long Island. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city can expect more cases.
We know we now have cases here in New York City. We have to assume that means there's community spread. We have to assume that means we're going to see a lot more cases.
New York's governor adds all the cases appear to show mild symptoms, and at least one of the patients had recently returned from South Africa. Scientists say there is a silver lining to Omicron being in the U.S. because now they have actual samples of it. Here's ABC's Alex Stone in Los Angeles.
Until now, U.S. labs haven't had an actual sample of Omicron to work with, but with cases in the U.S., that is changing. At UC San Francisco, Dr. Charles Chu's lab found the first case in the U.S. He says now they can use that sample of the variant to begin studying how it spreads, is it more dangerous, and can it evade vaccines.
What we do is we are able to culture the virus and grow it.
But getting answers to what the variant can do could still be weeks away. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
COVID-19 tests have just become more accessible just in time for the new variant's arrival. ABC's Karen Travers explains people with insurance can get a reimbursement for the tests under new protocols from President Biden.
The White House says they're going to have 50 million at-home tests that will be sent out to 20,000 sites around the country where they can be handed out for free. Now, they haven't explained how that would stop the insured Americans from going to one of those places to just pick it up and make it a lot easier. But that is going to take some time. And this is still a big concern that this country lags European countries in terms of the convenience and the cost and accessibility of getting rapid tests.
The new order is part of a series of steps the White House announced today to help combat the spread of COVID, especially as it gets colder outside and people move indoors. Intermountain Healthcare is pausing requirements for employees to get COVID vaccines. The news comes after a federal judge blocked President Biden's vaccine mandate for healthcare workers. Intermountain and Mountain Star Healthcare will hold off on a mandate until there is a clear direction from the courts. University of Utah Health says they will continue to require vaccines until there's more direction from state leaders. Longtime state legislator Paul Ray is stepping down to take a new position with the Department of Health and Human Services, but some political analysts say a high-ranking departure like that will always raise eyebrows. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has more.
University of Utah political science professor Tim Chambla says people will want to know how Ray got the new job and if there were more competent candidates. However, whether it's ethical for a lawmaker to take what could be a lobbying job or not, Chambla says it's legal to serve as a lobbyist even while serving as a lawmaker. He says being a legislator is a part-time job, and lawmakers may have to lobby for the companies they work for as their full-time job.
Ray issued a statement saying he will cherish the past 20 years that he spent in the legislature. Other national stories we are following. The House voted to avert a government shutdown, 221 to 212. The bill funds the federal government through February of 2022.
221. The nays are 212. The bill is passed.
A vote is expected in the Senate tonight. Consumer confidence in Utah went down last month, but local economists are optimistic. KSL News Radio's Jacob Ureda has details.
A study from the Kempsey Gardner Policy Institute at the University of Utah said that consumer confidence dipped in November from a month before. Despite the dip, overall confidence in the state was above the national average. Juliette Tennert, the chief economist at the Institute, says inflation and other factors affected how consumers spent.
Knowing what we know about what's happening with the supply chain and inflation pressures and prices increasing, and so of course, that hits consumer pocketbooks.
Even though they had lower confidence, Tennert says the report shows consumers in Utah were still favorable about the state's economy as a whole. Jacob Drueda, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time, 5:05. Time for First Look Traffic on the 5 o'clock report. Here's Ricky Meese.
If you're leaving downtown Salt Lake City and making your way north, you're going to see a few spots where traffic is a little busy between downtown and the north interchange, but a lighter than normal commute tonight through Davis County. It's a little heavy and slow going through Clearfield. Delays southbound I-15 in Weber County from the I-84 junction all the way through Roy. And we still have northbound right lanes closed to traffic at Bangor Highway just after the 201 junction. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
The 5 o'clock report is brought to you by Any Hour Services Electrical, Plumbing, Heating and Air, anyhourservices.com. KSL News Time 5:06. Former BYU football coach Bronco Mendenhall has announced that he is stepping down as head coach at Virginia. Joining me now is BYU insider Mitch Harper. And Mitch, do we know why he's leaving?
Well, it's a shocking development. Bronco said today to the media just moments ago on his press conference that he started to consider this move on Sunday, and he made it official today. And he told his staff at 4:45 Eastern Time, 2:45 Mountain, and then he told his team at 3 o'clock Mountain Time that he was officially going to step down. And it sounds like, Maria, that he's not going to be coaching football anytime soon, if ever at all.
Any idea why that might be?
You know, I think that honestly, he hinted at a lot of different things, but I feel like the direction of college football, he doesn't like that. Where it's an era of, NIL and players making it about their personal brand rather than the team. And he referenced the number of players that have entered the transfer portal, which allows players to basically move from one team to the next without any sort of, sit out or penalty. 240 players have entered that transfer portal over the last 4 days. And I don't think Bronco, a guy that's into developing a program and a culture, he doesn't like that direction of college football. And I think he's getting out while it's still kind of before it gets feeling like a professional type of league.
Is there any speculation about what he might do next?
He talked about it, but he has said himself that he doesn't know. Him and his wife, Holly Mendenhall, they might still stay in Charlottesville, Virginia, but it's not going to be football. He did not reference any sort of intention to be back on a sideline anytime soon, like I said, if ever at all. I think this is going to be, something where he could maybe do a lot of humanitarian service. He's got a charity with his wife, Holly, so he could explore situations like that. But didn't really give any sort of clear direction as to what his next moves are going to be.
All right, Mitch. Thanks so much for the update.
Thanks, Maria.
That is BYU insider Mitch Harper joining us live on the KSL Newsline. For 4 years in a row, WalletHub has ranked Utah worst in the nation for women's equality. So Utah researchers dissected it to find out why. Utah Women in Leadership Project founder Dr. Susan Madsen says the gender pay gap is just one area where Utah gets low scores.
$1 per hour added to the minimum wage could shrink the wage gap. That's just one solution. But generally, public policy, college graduation, resources and support, cultural norms, small business support, women's professional development, opportunities like negotiation training and other career advancement strategies.
The report also shows in areas like politics, Utah has a lot fewer women elected. They say the WalletHub survey also doesn't account for all the work women do that is unpaid. KSL News Time, 5:08. That means time for Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News. It's brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating and Air, anyhourservices.com.
How are your pets doing?
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
I'll tell you what's new. The CDC's recommendation for keeping your pets safe through this pandemic.
Get back, honky cat.
Get back indoors, honky cat. After two cats in upstate New York tested positive and showed COVID symptoms, the Centers for Disease Control announced that your honky cat should stay indoors for the duration of the pandemic.
You think those angry protests to reopen the state were crazy?
Gestapo!
This large gathering is also a public health violation.
Wait till you see the protest when you decide to keep an outdoor cat indoors.
I got cat class and I got cat style.
It's different for dogs.
Who let the dogs out?
There's no such thing as an indoor dog, which is why the CDC is recommending you keep your dog on a leash. Don't let Ruffy run loose, because he can get the virus from other dogs and bring it home to you. Worse, the CDC says when you walk your pooch, you're supposed to stay 6 feet away from other dogs. No sniffing the undercarriage anymore, if you know what I mean.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
You let your dog carouse around outdoors, the CDC warns, he could end up sick as a dog. And you could, too. So hold that leash tight. Keep your dog safe and your cat out of sight. And that's what's new, Pussycat.
What's new, Pussycat?
Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News, only on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by Science Bank, the official bank of the Utah Jazz. Slow down southbound I-15 starting in Murray at 4500 south to 90th south in Sandy. Northbound I-15, a little crowded and slow. Draper to Sandy, that stretches mostly from 123rd south to 90th south. And now we're starting to see traffic filling in and slowing down. Eastbound I-215 south belt starting just after Redwood Road over to the I-15 junction. Michelle?
Pretty packed in. This is Bangor Highway again, both directions approaching the 201 freeway. We've had this traffic signal issue going on at 1820 south. Now, if you're headed a little further south, seeing some slowdowns there in South Jordan. For drivers in Utah County, I-15 looking good. Summit County, northbound SR-224 Olympic Parkway, that's also busy approaching I-80. Steve?
Pretty good drive right now if you're on northbound I-15 from Salt Lake. I've had a crash at the Highway 89 Beck Street Junction on the left shoulder out of traffic. Farther up, Davis County slowdowns through Layton. On southbound I-15, thick and slower speeds from Riverdale down to Roy. Got a crash in Kaysville, by the way. Surface Street crash affecting traffic in all directions at 200 North Main. Center lanes are closed there. Any hour services, electrical, plumbing, heating and air, over 8,000 Google reviews, and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Google any hour services or visit anyhourservices.com. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
And Kevin Eubank is here with the hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report. An hour by hour description as we head toward Friday.
Thanks a lot, Maria. As we head through the 5 o'clock hour, temperatures in the mid-50s. We'll quickly drop to the upper 40s by 6 o'clock, mid-40s by 7, and low 40s by 8. Ultimate lows will be in the low 30s under mostly clear skies. With your hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, I'm Kevin Eubank.
And here in downtown Salt Lake City, our temperature has now dropped to 48 degrees. Just 2 days after four students were fatally shot at Oxford High School in Michigan, the sheriff says he's now contending with callous prank calls. Sheriff Michael Bouchard says that these calls are distracting his officers, forcing them to field phony threats that are causing multiple school closures.
Those that are sharing this information are inflaming the anxiety and fear of people. They had nothing to do with this, and they could not have prevented this had they been investigated further, because A, they were investigated and deemed not credible, and B, they weren't related to this whatsoever.
Oakland County Prosecutor Karen McDonald is considering charging the parents of the alleged shooter, saying owning a gun means securing it properly. Two officers are recovering and a suspect is dead after an officer-involved shooting last night in Taylorsville. Investigators say they were looking specifically for a Nate Joker who was wanted in connection with multiple felonies. West Valley Police Chief Colleen Jacobs says once officers spotted him at a 7-Eleven on Redwood Road, they saw a baby was in the car with him.
Negotiations started between the officers and the suspect in an attempt to get him to release the baby from the vehicle.
Once the baby was rescued, they tried to get Joker to come out. Eventually, they fired pepper balls into the car, which is when he reportedly came out firing his gun. A unified police officer is being charged after allegedly crashing his patrol car over the summer while high on fentanyl. KSL News Radio's Carlos Artiles Fortune reports.
Jared Brute Carden is being charged with possession of a firearm, DUI, drug possession, and carrying dangerous weapon while under the influence. This is after the Utah Highway Patrol found Jared unconscious after crashing on I-15 near 1500 South. Investigators found painkiller pills in his car for which he did not have a prescription for.
Emergency responders had to administer naloxone to revive him. He resigned from the UPD in August. Trending on social media? For one night only, you could stay in the Home Alone house while the family is out of town. The Chicago area home will be available on December 12th for just $25. The house looks almost exactly the same with similar decorations throughout the house, sans the booby traps. Now, bookings open on December 7th, and they are expected to be competitive. KSL News Time, 5:15. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
researchers from the Utah Women in Leadership Project dissected the most recent Wallet Hub study, ranking Utah as the worst state in the nation for women's equality. They say upping this score would help the state's image. I'm KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ayres.
Second, the new COVID-19 variant has been detected in Colorado. The woman has mild symptoms and was fully vaccinated but had not received a booster shot. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot, sponsored by Zions Bank, official bank of the Utah Jazz. Ricky?
Well, in Kaysville, we have this accident at the intersection of Main Street and 200 North. It has been blocking a few different lanes of traffic in multiple directions. Right now, I can't really see the crash, and traffic is starting to get through the intersection once again. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Well, the hazy sunshine will linger, temperatures in the mid-50s, but changes are on the horizon. I'm Kevin Eubank.
48 degrees downtown. Time now for KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. President Biden's outlined a plan to manage the COVID-19 pandemic through the winter.
Virtually all Americans will soon receive free at-home COVID testing. And the president's ordering tougher international testing rules.
That all inbound international travelers must test within one day of departure, regardless of their vaccination status or nationality.
The president also announcing more vaccine donations to nations that need them and extending public transit mask mandates through March. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
We are getting word of more cases of the Omicron variant across the country. New York Governor Kathy Hochul says there are at least 5 cases in her state.
A 67-year-old female who had symptoms, mild symptoms of a headache and a cough. There is some vaccination history. We don't know if it's one vaccination, two, or a booster shot.
There are also confirmed cases in Minnesota, Colorado, and California. A continuing resolution or temporary funding measure is on its way to the Senate now that the House has signed off on it. It would avert a government shutdown later this week, keeping it up and running into February. The House holding a moment of silence for the 4 teenagers who were killed in a shooting this week at a Michigan high school. Democrat Alyssa Slotkin.
In less than 5 minutes, the small town of Oxford, Michigan, was changed forever when a gunman opened fire on his fellow high school students. In that momentary flash, 4 innocent teenagers, students with their entire lives ahead of them, were taken from us in yet another senseless act of violence.
The 15-year-old student is charged as an adult with 24 crimes, including murder. There's been an arrest in the fatal shooting of philanthropist Jacqueline Avant in her Beverly Hills home this week. 9 lawyers allied with former President Trump have been ordered to pay the city of Detroit in the state of Michigan $175,000 in sanctions to settle a sham lawsuit challenging the 2020 election. You're listening to ABC News.
Time for the KSL In-Depth. The CDC is releasing new data about the country's autism rates and how autism spectrum disorder is far more common than we previously thought. A lot of the CDC's research came out of the University of Utah, and KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson joins us live with details. Paul, how did they come up with these new numbers?
Well, this is part of something that they call the Autism and Disabilities Monitoring Study, and they have data that is sent in from states from several years back. For example, there was a study back done in 2012 and another one in 2018, and the data that came out from 2018 is what's being released today. And so what we did find, though, is that in Utah, they used to believe that one out of every 58 children had, at least 8-year-olds, I should say, are on the autism spectrum. However, what they know now is that number is actually one out of 46 children are on the spectrum. And that is a significant jump from what we used to believe.
Do we have a better idea of why these rates are going up?
A lot of it could be because of better diagnosing. And matter of fact, one of the doctors was saying that legislators have actually done a pretty good job in increasing access to testing. They noticed that there were a lot more kids in the lower economic groups that actually were diagnosed with autism, meaning that they had better resources for testing and diagnosing than they had before.
How does Utah compare with the rest of the country?
Well, we're not exactly at the national average. I mean, we're slightly below it. The national average is 1 out of 44 kids. However, there we are 1 out of 46. But there are some states where, you know, it kind of ranges all over the place. For example, in California, they say it's 1 out of every 26 children are found on the spectrum. But that is because they might have, like, a better compared to ours, at least, better testing abilities and better diagnosing abilities.
All right, Paul, thanks for your help on this. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson with the latest on that research. KSL News Time 519. Triple Team Traffic is sponsored by Zions Bank, official bank of the Utah Jazz. Let's begin with Ricky.
You're going to see slowdowns if you're on I-15 in Salt Lake County. On the northbound side, it's a little crowded and slow, Draper into Sandy, but it's definitely bogged down southbound I-15 between Murray at 4500 south down to 90th south. We also have delays. This is eastbound on the south belt of I-215 between Redwood Road and I-15 in Murray. Michelle?
Well, again, we're still very busy. This is Bankater Highway between California Avenue and 3500 Southwest Valley. A little more slowing as you're going through the construction in South Jordan. For drivers on I-15 in Utah County, still running at posted speeds, but we do have unusual delays. This is northbound SR-224 Olympic Parkway approaching Kimball Junction. Steve?
And we have backups on Foothill Drive this afternoon, southbound from Mario Capecchi all the way out to about 21st South. Even the northbound side, a little busy approaching Sunnyside Avenue right now. On northbound I-15 from downtown, got slowdowns as you leave the city, but it clears. And then you have Davis County delays waiting for you from the Layton Parkway up to Antelope Drive. Southbound I-15 filling in from 31st Street in Ogden down into the Roy Sunset area. Those on Highway 89 southbound slow through Uinta down to I-84 and northbound slow from South Weaver Drive this afternoon. Step into $400 with University Credit Union by using your new debit card, direct deposit, and switching over your auto loan. Visit ucreditu.com today to learn more how to qualify. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
A change is coming. Let's check the 7-day forecast with Kevin Eubank.
Hazy sunshine today, Maria, but temperatures upper 50s in Salt Lake City. Tonight, 32 for the low, 55, mostly sunny and hazy on Friday. We'll keep it hazy on Saturday with highs in the mid-50s, upper 40s, partly cloudy, a little cooler on our Sunday, and then our storm moves in. Monday into Tuesday, valley rain and mountain snow, and a colder storm knocking on the door for Thursday. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Kevin Eubank.
And right now, 48 degrees downtown. And the 5 o'clock report brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air, anyhourservices.com. KSL News Time 522.
This is Derek Miller speaking on business. Consistent, reliable, and affordable electricity is essential in today's wired economy. In the past, much of Utah's power came from traditional sources, but times are changing. And Gary Hoogeveen, president and CEO of Rocky Mountain Power, tells us about the developments now underway.
It's an exciting time at Rocky Mountain Power as we continue to increase renewable energy generation and move to a more sustainable electrical grid. We recently announced the completion of a sweeping initiative that more than doubled our wind production, making PacifiCorp the largest regulated utility owner of wind power in the West. Using 2005 as a baseline, our latest long-range plan will achieve a 74% reduction of greenhouse gas emissions by 2030 and a 98% reduction by 2050. We are currently negotiating contracts for 1,200 megawatts of solar, along with 680 megawatts of installed battery capacity, which will be built in rural Utah. Our plan also includes an additional 5,600 megawatts of new solar resources. This monumental work will maintain Rocky Mountain Power's strong reliability in delivering power to customers, uphold our position as one of the lowest cost energy providers in the nation, reduce emissions, and modernize the grid.
PacifiCorp is Rocky Mountain Power's parent company, and together with its sister company, Pacific Power, they serve over 2 million customers, creating an energy future that is affordable, reliable, and sustainable. I'm Derek Miller with the Salt Lake Chamber, speaking on business.
No, not now.
That sounds like it's going to cost you.
I know what to do.
I'm going to CashNetUSA.com. I can apply in minutes, get an instant decision, and if approved, I could have the money in my account as soon as the same business day.
When you need money fast, be the hero. Go to CashNetUSA.com to apply for the money you need now. The exact timing as to when your loan funds will be available will be determined by your banking institution.
Whether you're ready for the snow or not, they say it's coming. What's up, everybody? I'm Mike Wilson with Any Hour Services, and if you haven't gotten your furnace tuned up yet, there's still time. Normally, we charge $99 to tune up your furnace, but if you call today, Thursday, December 2nd, and mention you heard this ad, we'll give you $70 off and tune up your furnace for only $29. You won't hear this ad on KSL tomorrow, so call Any Hour Services right now to schedule. 801-443-7400. Manufacturers recommend annual maintenance to ensure safe operation, maximize efficiency, and help your furnace last for as many years as possible. 801-443-7400. If it's more convenient, go to anyhourservices.com and look for the red button that says book online. Schedule your $29 tune-up there. To lock in your $70 savings, all you need to do is get a hold of Any Hour Services today, Thursday, December 2nd. That's a $99 value for only $29. Call Any Hour Services right now at 801-443-7400. You can Google Any Hour Services. You can even schedule online at anyhourservices.com.
KSL News Time, 525. We are watching Utah's money. BuzzFeed might soon trade on the stock market. The company is valued at $1.5 billion. Some of its staff have staged a walkout as the company prepares the announcement to go public. America's best-selling vehicle remains the Ford F-150 for the 40th consecutive year in a row. Retaining the title on 2021 was particularly difficult due to the chip shortages, but Ford prioritized the production of its F-Series early in the year. Dollar General is looking to expand wealthier customers using a new store model and name. Now, the new store will be called Pop Shelf, and the company plans to open 1,000 stores over the next 4 years. On Wall Street today, a bounce back for the markets. The Dow closed up 617 points. It ended at 34,639. The S&P gained 64. NASDAQ up 127. Police in Southern California have arrested a suspect who they say broke into a home of a famed music producer on Wednesday morning, killing the 81-year-old's wife.
A 29-year-old parolee with a long criminal history is now under arrest, accused of murdering Jacqueline Avant. Beverly Hills Police Chief Mark Stainbrook says a man broke into the Avant home and then went to another home nearby, broke in, and was caught by the LAPD after he shot himself in the foot.
Multiple surveillance videos, including city cameras, showed the suspect's vehicle heading eastbound out of Beverly Hills.
Police in L.A. and Beverly Hills realized there was a connection. The man was arrested with an AR-type rifle. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.